Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Advocates and Congressional Champions call for End to Title 42. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone telephone. Please note this call may be recorded. I will be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn today's conference over to Will Dempster from National Immigration Law Center. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Will Dempster, the Communications Director at the National Immigration Law Center. I'm honored to be joined with our speakers today, who I'll be introducing. First is Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, the Chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, Mary Kay Henry, International President of the Service Employees International Union, Maria Lynn Ancapie, the Executive Director of the National Immigration Law Center, and Mike Breen, the President of Human Rights First. We're gathered today on the day that Title 42 is set to end to affirm why this cruel policy needs to end for good and to forcefully oppose any efforts by Congress to shut down our asylum system by mandating the continuation of Title 42 expulsions. First on the call, I'd like to open it up to one of our great champions in Congress, Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal. Congresswoman, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much, Will, and thank you to We Are Home Campaign, the National Immigration Law Center, SEIU, and Human Rights First for bringing us together today. The federal judge's decision on Friday to keep Title 42 in place is wrong. It's a decision driven by politics and not facts, and I applaud the DOJ for appealing this ruling. It's the right thing to do. We cannot continue to allow the use of Title 42 to circumvent immigration law in America. I want to be really clear about this. Trump's use of Title 42 was part of a xenophobic and inhumane master plan to limit all forms of legal immigration, whether it was to separate children from their parents, cut refugee caps, slow all applications for legal entry, or utilize what is supposed to be a public health law to eliminate the ability for people to legally seek asylum at the border. Title 42 grants the government the ability to take emergency action only to stop the, quote, introduction of communicable diseases. But by the time the Trump administration had implemented Title 42, COVID was already present throughout the United States. This was never about containing the virus or stopping the spread, but again about Trump's master plan to ban yet another form of legal immigration, the legal right for people, largely Black and brown people, from seeking asylum in our country. On top of that, Title 42 has created chaos at the southern border, expelling thousands of people instead of processing them in an orderly fashion and leading to additional human rights abuses and crimes from kidnapping, rape, and assault of migrants. The Trump administration is responsible for the harm caused by Title 42. But if we do not speak out against this and stop the use of Title 42, we are no better. We will be buying into the demonization of immigrants, the continued use of immigrants as a political football, when what we truly need is reform of our immigration system and the establishment of the legal pathways to entry that Trump tore down. I am a naturalized citizen myself, and I know how hard the process is. It took me 17 years to get my citizenship. I also have devoted two decades of my life to fighting for immigration reform, both as an organizer and a leader in the immigrant rights movement and as a member of Congress. And today, as chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, I am proud to say that the Progressive Caucus has voted to oppose any amendments to any legislation or any standalone legislation that reinstates Title 42. This will have to play out in the courts because we will not allow immigrants to once again be cruelly thrown under the bus. And I'm proud to be standing in solidarity with our colleagues in the Congressional Hispanic Caucus on this. We know what we need to do, pass humane immigration reform. But our colleagues across the aisle have refused to do that, even when we have bipartisan bills that have the support of the majority of the American people. They want to take the work of immigrants who help drive our economy and our country, and at the same time demonize them by refusing to allow legal pathways for immigration. Well, we're not going to be a part of any of that. Title 42 was wrong when it was implemented, and it's wrong now. It is a relic of the Trump administration's anti-immigrant agenda, and we cannot let it stand. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Ashley, if you want to instruct the members of the press on how they can be added to the queue for a question.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. We will pause for a moment to allow questions to queue. We will now take our next question from Suzanne Moniak from Roll Call. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you guys so much for having this press call. I was wondering, Congresswoman, if you had any thoughts on how this decision might, if at all, change any of the political dynamics in Congress over Title 42. You mentioned that Progressive Caucus is voting will not, you know, support any legislation that has a Title 42 amendment. Do you anticipate that will quiet conversations about having this amendment, or do you think we're still going to continue to see a push by Republicans and maybe even some Senate Democrats to have a vote on something like this?
Well, I certainly hope that it will stop the very destructive discussion that's happening that, as I said, you know, I think does nothing more than serve Republican purposes of demonizing immigrants and trying to, again, use immigrants as a political football in an election year. But I also know my Republican colleagues, and I know this issue of immigration, and unfortunately, I think they will continue to try to, you know, make immigrants the target of their xenophobic attacks. And so I hope that it quiets things. Obviously, I think we need to be loud and clear on the reasons to end Title 42, because I think people don't really understand what Title 42 is. And that's why I always use the actual language of the title, because if people understood what the purpose of Title 42 is, and if they understood the history of Stephen Miller, Trump's anti-immigrant architect in the White House, essentially pushing to use Title 42 before it was ever implemented, before COVID ever hit, then I think people would understand that this is very much a part of this master plan. And the American people do want legal pathways for immigration to stand. They do believe that immigration is a good thing for America. And that is in spite of decades now of attacks by Republicans and, you know, sometimes Democrats buying into needing to thinking that they need to do that. So I hope we'll see a different conversation. And I think that's part of the reason this press call is really important.
We will now take our next question from Ellen Gilmer from Bloomberg Government. Please go ahead.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for doing this. This is a legal question. Can anyone on this call kind of speak to the dynamic you expect to see operationally at the border as DHS keeps Title 42 in place, but at the same time needs to comply with the D.C. Circuit's March order barring the expulsion of migrant families to places they face persecution or torture? That mandate actually just issued after this call started, so that's a kind of new dynamic at the border.
Ellen, it's Will. I think unless the Congresswoman would like to answer the question, I think some of the additional speakers may be able to speak to that, and we could come back to your question at the end. Is there any other specific question you might have for the Congresswoman, or should we save that for that question for later?
We could save it for later. Thanks.
We will now take our next question from Jordan Carney from Politico. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for doing the call. I just wanted to clarify maybe what you think this means for COVID aid and how that gets through Congress, since there is still sort of an effort on the Senate side to link keeping Title 42 in place to that $10 billion deal that they negotiated.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's such a travesty that Republicans have refused to pass that COVID aid, which, as you know, I already think is too little. It cut out, you know, more global COVID aid, which if we're going to be able to stop this pandemic, we're going to have to address the vaccine inequity and injustice across the world. But this $10 billion at a minimum, I believe that the Senate now should pass it. There shouldn't be any question of keeping Title 4, you know, having an amendment tied to Title 42, but given the judge's ruling. But I think it is really important that we make it clear that we are not voting for something that demonizes immigrants. And that's why the Progressive Caucus stand, along with the Congressional Hispanic Caucus's stand, is very important to emphasize. We're not voting for something that that has this demonization of Title 42, particularly given the judge's order. This is going to battle out in the courts for a few more months.
And we do have a follow-up question from Ellen Gilmer with Bloomberg Government. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, this question is for Congressman Jayapal. So how are you having conversations with your colleagues in the Senate? Have you talked to Mark Kelly? Have you talked to Senator Cortez Masto about sort of their apprehensions about the border situation? And do you see them as being persuadable?
I have not had conversations with them. I've left that to the Hispanic Caucus, who takes the lead on this particular issue. But we have had conversations with other members of the Senate. I've certainly had this conversation with Speaker Pelosi even before we issued our statement. I made it clear that we had a number of members of the Progressive Caucus who were not going to vote for legislation. So I think everyone's pretty clear about this. I hope that this is an opportunity for Democrats, and I just published an op-ed with my good friend Deepak Bhargava on this. You know, I think there is this, sometimes there's this rush to try to outdo Republicans on immigration, to out anti-immigration Republicans, and it never bodes well. It doesn't bode well in the elections. Democrats who do that often lose a significant portion of the electoral base that doesn't agree with that and knows that it is just a political, cruel political tactic. But it also is absolutely the wrong thing to do from a policy standpoint. And so I think we just have to continue to educate our own party, frankly, about how immigration works and the politics of immigration so that people don't rush to try to out Republicans on immigration. It's a longstanding issue, frankly, and one that we've dealt with. All of us on the call, all my colleagues on the call have dealt with for quite some time.
Go ahead, Ashley.
And once again, if you'd like to ask a question, that is star and one on your touch tone telephone. We'll pause for another moment to allow questions to queue. And it appears that we have no further questions at this time. I'll now turn the program back over to our presenters.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Really appreciate your joining the call and for being such a strong and fierce champion for immigrant communities. We really appreciate your time today. Now we'll be turning over to our advocate speakers, and I'd first like to introduce Mary Kay Henry, the International President of the Service Employees International Union.
Thanks so much, Will, and thank you to our champion, Chairwoman Pramila Jayapal, Congresswoman who does so much, and appreciate your leadership. I also appreciate Welcome with Dignity and NILC for arranging another call on this important issue. I'm proud to speak today on behalf of SEIU's 2 million members and working people across the service and care economy. Immigrants from all backgrounds are essential. Immigrants strengthen our nation, and they have tirelessly served on the front lines in our communities during the worst and most dangerous moments of this pandemic. They are home care and child care workers. They're nurses, security guards, restaurant workers, teachers, first responders, and so much more. They are our neighbors, coworkers, families, and friends. Many SEIU leaders and members come to the U.S. seeking refuge. they wouldn't have made it if Title 42 had been in place during their time of need. Judge Summerhays' decision to keep the policy in place is an affront to our core values as Americans and to our history as a beacon for the oppressed. In light of this terrible decision, my message today could not be simpler, nor could it be more urgent. Working people expect Congress and the President to stand with working people, and that means and includes immigrants and refugees, and use every power of government at their disposal to support humane policies at the border and support a path to citizenship. For Democrats and Republicans in the Senate, that means voting no, no way, on any legislation that would force the administration to keep the current heartless policy in place, regardless of the facts on the ground. As long as Title 42 continues, men, women, and children fleeing violence and persecution can't even request asylum at our borders. These are the desperate people who have found themselves in unthinkable circumstances in their home countries. They are pleading for their lives and the lives of their family members. Turning them away without giving them a chance to make their case is un-American and cruel. The American people and Congress have responded to the war in Ukraine with an outpouring of support for refugees from that country, reflecting the best of our nation. By contrast, it is not hard to see that keeping Title 42 in place and barring people in similar circumstances from entering our nation's southern border is xenophobic and racist. We have seen the ugly ways in which this systemic racism and hate has torn communities apart and ended countless lives prematurely. The Buffalo massacre and the California church shooting being the most recent shocking examples. There is no way that senators can align themselves with any plan to extend Title 42 that will pass muster with our members and with working people, Black, Latinx, API, Indigenous, and white. We believe that our government must treat everyone equally, regardless of race or ethnicity or individual circumstance. As a matter of principle, asylum seekers must have the opportunity to prove their case. Our President and Democratic Congress must commit to creating a path to citizenship for immigrant workers and their families. Working people expect nothing less from those who come seeking our votes in this upcoming midterm election. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mary Kay. Next, we'll hear from Marielena Incapié, the Executive Director of the National Immigration Law Center.
Thank you so much, Will, and thanks to all of the media for joining us today, and a special thank you to Congressman Jayapal, our champion on the Hill, and to our other speakers, Mary Kay, for your ongoing solidarity and leadership on the issues that impact immigrant workers and all workers, to Mike Breen for your partnership on this fight, and to the Welcome with Dignity campaign that has been leading the fight to ensure that we can once again in the United States be a country that welcomes everybody with dignity. At the National Immigration Law Center, we are proud to stand with all of you and the countless immigrants, refugees, public health experts, labor unions, and allies who continue to advocate for the long overdue end of Title 42 and for a just and humane immigration system that includes an equitable asylum process. At the same time, it pains me to be here today on the day that this xenophobic policy was supposed to end and to once again urge our elected leaders to reject the wholly misguided attempts by some in Congress to effectively end asylum by keeping this cruel vestige of the Trump era in place. Title 42 has denied tens of thousands of people seeking safety their legal and human right to seek asylum and forced them back to dangerous, sometimes deadly situations. Not only was the Biden administration's decision to end Title 42 morally and legally right, but it is politically sound. Multiple polls show that 6 out of every 10 voters support the right of people to seek asylum in the United States. Blocking access to asylum does not help Democrats who stand a real chance of losing a base of voters by taking a hardline stance on immigration. In contemplating the future of this policy, it is important to remember how it began. Title 42 is a World War II relic that was exploited by the very people who continue to spread divisive false narratives and a white nationalist ideology. As part of the broader Republican playbook to keep the very worst Trump policies in place, Republican lawmakers have repeatedly filed political lawsuits where they think they are most likely to get rulings that uphold the Trump administration's signature white nationalist blueprint. Even as a federal court in one of these politically motivated lawsuits has ordered the administration to keep Title 42 in place, we know that there has never been a public health basis for Title 42 and that it is a stain on our nation. The Biden administration made the correct, if overdue, decision to end Title 42, thanks to repeated calls from Black immigrant leaders, advocates, civil rights leaders, human rights leaders, and people from all walks of life, including my fellow speakers on this call. We urge the Biden-Harris administration to vigorously defend its decision against the challenges in court. But independent of what the courts decide, Congress must also reject the Lankford-Sinema bill or any other piece of legislation that would indefinitely block access to the legal right to asylum in the United States. Any vote to cement Title 42 expulsions upholds that white nationalist ideology as part of our laws and would have implications for our immigration system for years to come. At the National Immigration Law Center, we disagree with Friday's flawed court decision. Practically, however, it means that Title 42 will remain in place for now. Any efforts to codify it are even less necessary than they were before. As strongly as we urge the Biden administration to defend its decision to end Title 42 expulsions for everyone, every person of good conscience must also denounce the continued spread of this overarching ideology of white nationalism, which has led to violent attacks against Black and brown communities and seeks to deny Black and brown people from legally seeking asylum in our country. Democrats must lead with clarity and resolve to forcefully reject any measure to extend Title 42. This is a moment that calls for moral leadership and courageous leadership. They must stand in stark contrast to the hateful politics that the core of the Republican Party have embraced. For generations, the United States has been a refuge for those seeking safety from danger and persecution, and we are at our best when we welcome people seeking freedom and treat them with dignity. At a time with record levels of migration around the world due to war, climate disasters, and gender-based violence, we must continue on the path toward restoring full and fair access to asylum for everyone who comes to the United States seeking safety. Democrats were elected with a commitment to undo the harms of the previous administration, and they should remain focused on their efforts to build a just and humane 21st century immigration system that recognizes the dignity inherent in all of us. In the meantime, we urge congressional leaders to at least do no further harm and reject the Lankford-Sinema bill or any other piece of legislation that would indefinitely block access to the legal right to seek asylum in the United States. Thank you.
Thanks, Marilena. Turning it over now to Mike Breen, president of Human Rights First. Mike.
Thank you, Will, and thanks to everyone on the call. Simply put, Title 42 is at odds with a fair and humane and legal asylum system. As a COVID control strategy, as a humanitarian policy, and as a border security policy, Title 42 has been a total failure. It's inhumane to asylum seekers, and it violates our laws, and it violates our treaty obligations. Human Rights First research makes clear that the human life or death consequences of continuing the implementation of Title 42 policy at the border are dire. So just since the Biden administration began, we've tracked over 10,000 serious crimes, kidnappings, rapes, murders, other attacks against migrants and asylum seekers blocked from U.S. protection or expelled to Mexico under Title 42. By supplanting our laws and treaty obligations to offer asylum to those seeking protection from danger and persecution, the use of Title 42 upends the idea of our government being based in law and jurisprudence. Anti-immigrant voices take the reprehensible position that using Title 42 as border policy in contravention of our laws is worth it because it deters migration, but that's completely at odds with the policy's purported public health rationale of protecting migrants. The truth is Title 42 is public health policy masquerading as border regulation. Public health professionals, even those who've been leaders at the CDC, have said it's being misused. Asylum seekers have continued coming to the border despite Title 42 because the United States remains their last best chance for survival and safety. And our research makes clear the humanitarian consequences of the policy. The comments of experts in public health show that the public health justifications never held water. Legislative attempts to keep Title 42 in place, like the Lankford Cinema Bill, are a shameful attempt to stoke fear and score political points at the expense of families, children, and adults who seek safety from violence and persecution in the United States. The bill politicizes the COVID-19 Emergency Public Health Declaration, putting legitimate public health measures in jeopardy and making us less safe. It undermines the authority of the CDC to make decisions about public health. It codifies the Trump administration's most radical and destructive policies, sows chaos at the border, and puts human lives at risk. And it will continue to use Title 42 to direct people away from ports of entry, which has meant hundreds of thousands of repeat crossings that lead to the misallocation of border-related resources. Meanwhile, the Louisiana court's ruling requires the continuation of a public health policy that public health experts have concluded is not needed, and it allows the continued evasion of U.S. immigration and refugee laws. The administration must defend its long overdue termination of the Title 42 policy. It was encouraging to see the Department of Justice file notice of their appeal quickly following the court issuing its injunction. And it's essential that the administration take steps to forcefully defend the CDC's decision. While we believe, of course, that the court is in error, if necessary, the administration should begin a notice and comment period to address the concerns of the court so that this policy is not extended a moment longer than required by the court. The forced extension of this harmful policy will also lead to more repeat border crossings, inflated border crossing statistics, and the continued evasion of actual U.S. immigration and refugee law. Individual state attorneys general should not be allowed to thwart the will of the voters, and the Biden administration must use all legal tools at its disposal to challenge this ruling. The administration's decision to end Title 42 was a crucial step in the right direction that would return the United States to its regular, if not ideal, asylum system, one that meets both American law and our treaty obligations, and it's crucial that we stay on that path. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. And Ashley, I think we're ready for questions. And Ellen, if you want to put yourself in the queue, we can have you you could repeat your question so we can get a proper answer for you.
And once again, if you'd like to ask a question, that is star and one on our touch-tone telephone. We'll pause for another moment to allow questions to queue. And we'll now take our first question from Ellen Gilmer with Bloomberg Government. Please go ahead.
Hey, everyone. Yeah, so again, the question was, can somebody discuss the interplay between the continuation of Title 42 and the effectiveness now of the D.C. Circuit's order barring expulsions to places where migrant families would face persecution or torture?
Mike, are you able to take that one?
I think the short version on that is that we think the D.C. decision should be allowed to go ahead, but rapidly moving situation, as you know. I mean, essentially, families, we shouldn't be expelling families who fear, if they fear return. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, and Ellen, this is Mariela, and I would just add that, you know, even with Title 42 in place over the last almost, you know, year and a half now under the Biden administration, there have been exceptions to that rule, including unaccompanied children and then people who are able to, you know, who can show that they're particularly vulnerable. We believe that the administration should continue every effort to seek to allow for people from an operational perspective to, if they fit within the exceptions, to follow through on that. But I have not read the decision that just came down since we were on this call. We're happy to, you know, take a look at that and follow up with you afterwards if that's helpful.
Sure. I mean, it was just a mandate from the decision that already came out in March. And I'm if there is some sort of movement happening in the court to try to do something about the D.C. Circuit's decision, I'd be interested to hear that, because this is the mandate of the decision that's already issued and not appealed.
And once again, that is star and one on your touch tone telephone. We will pause for another moment to allow questions to queue. It appears that we have no further questions at this time. I will now turn the program back over to presenters.
Thanks, Ashley. And I just want to thank everybody for joining this call. Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, Mary Kay Henry, Marielena Ngakoue, and Mike Breen, and also the Welcome with Dignity campaign for their partnership and their leadership in the broader fight to end Title 42 expulsions. Thanks, everyone. And if you have any other questions, please do follow up with us directly, and we'll be happy to help answer them. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.